I'm Shamita Basu, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Now, from COVID-19 in jails and prisons to how the disease is affecting one immigration detention center.
Regional 911.
Said any EMS like ASAP.
Regional 911.
Hi, this is Officer Wyman at Stewart Detention Center. The nurse said possible COVID-19 and hypoxia.
Regional 911, where's your emergency?
Hi, this is Officer Holmes at Stewart Detention Center. We need EMS to detain him, not responding.
Is he breathing?
They just say he's not responding.
Those are 911 calls from the Stewart Detention Center in rural Georgia, one of the biggest immigration and customs enforcement facilities in the U.S. Stewart is run by a private prison company called CoreCivic and houses migrant detainees and asylum seekers. We've heard from detainees that in that facility, like so many others across the country, COVID-19 has been spreading fast.
Seems like since all this began, we've been quarantined. I can't go outside or anything. I don't feel well. At night, I feel like I can't breathe well. And I asked for help some time ago, and the staff has not given me medical attention or given me medicine. And like myself, there are other people detained here who aren't getting medical attention.
So immigrants have demanded better conditions and more protection in the face of this pandemic. In response, correctional staff at Stewart have used force on them twice in 2 weeks. The officers involved are from a secretive unit in the facility deployed to keep detainees in check. And social media posts from members of this unit reveal a potential pattern of alleged bias and misconduct toward detainees. Jose Olivares, Takeaway producer, has been reporting on this in conjunction with The Intercept.
So we saw two protests break out in a two-week time span amid the COVID pandemic, and they both have been related to conditions inside the facility. So the first protest took place on April 9th, and this is when people detained started protesting because they were worried that people inside their units were not getting the sufficient healthcare treatment and medical treatment and medical attention necessary with others who were showing symptoms of COVID-19. The second protest happened on April 20th at night. People detained were alleging that they were getting very little food at a very late hour. And when the very little food kind of came in closer to 9, 10 p.m., the detainees said, you know, we refuse to eat this. We demand better food. We demand better provisions. And so the correctional staff responded with force, using pepper spray and pepper ball ammunition.
Mm. Now, you've actually been in touch with some of the detainees there, right?
Yeah. So I've spoken with 8 different people who are currently detained in Stewart. And I've also been in touch with 6 family members and 2 people who were formerly detained. So I've been getting a lot of information as to kind of what conditions are looking like inside. And what they're alleging is pretty grim. They're saying basically that symptoms were rapidly spreading, that the units have 60 to 90 people in there, and that it's practically impossible to practice any sort of social distancing in there. People are getting very, very desperate because of the symptoms and conditions inside the facility. I spoke with one man who told me the following.
There was a man in this unit who fainted this morning, and the medics came. In the afternoon, he fainted again, and the medics came again, and now he fell on the floor again. We told the officer, he called the medics, and they took him again, but we don't know to where.
Oh, wow. So, Jose, do we know if there's been anything similar happening in other detention facilities during this pandemic?
Yeah, the desperation in ICE facilities around the country is really, really bubbling up, and it's really kind of exploding. We've seen hunger strikes and protests in facilities all over the U.S. We've also seen use of force incidents in different facilities as well, from Louisiana to Texas to Arizona, and just last weekend, actually, in Massachusetts.
Okay, so in the case of Stewart, you reported that this secretive force stepped in. What is that secretive force?
So the SORT team is the Special Operations Response Team. It's a group of highly trained correctional staff whose job it is basically to sort of put down and repress any sort of disturbance inside the facility. They're normal correctional staff. And when there's any sort of disturbance, they change into outfits that are basically all black. They essentially act like a SWAT team. They're trained to use shields, helmets, pepper spray, batons, pepper ball ammunition. But they are employees of the private company CoreCivic, and they are trained by the company for these SORT operations and these use of force operations.
So does that mean that this is happening at other facilities that CoreCivic oversees?
Maybe. The use of these sort of teams is usually mostly associated with prisons or very large jails, not mm-hmm. typically associated with immigration detention, which, like I said, is for civil cases, not necessarily criminal cases, right? So it seems like, based on this reporting, the Stewart detention SORT officers were being trained at other CoreCivic facilities that were either jails or prisons in the South.
Now, did the actions of these SORT officers constitute a use of force beyond what you would expect in a situation like this?
According to social media posts from some of the SORT officers that we saw and court filings, I mean, some of the use of force seems to be pretty intense. I mean, there was one migrant detainee who was allegedly pepper sprayed and shot with pepper ball ammunition on April 20th. And the social media posts show that he was in a wheelchair and he was forced to go onto the ground. The social media posts sort of allude to the fact that maybe he was shot with pepper balls in the face, right? Pretty gruesome, aggressive actions in these facilities to sort of put down any sort of protests that activists and advocates claim is peaceful.
So this is out there on social media. You're saying that some of the members of this SORT force were posting about it on where? Facebook, Twitter?
Right. So on Facebook, members of Georgia Detention Watch, which is a detained migrant advocacy organization, found some of these posts on Facebook and shared them with me. And basically, we were able to independently verify that for months, these SORT officers were sort of joking about and kind of talking about use of force in the facility. And some of these posts can be pretty disturbing. After the April 9th pepper spray incident, there was a chief at the facility who posted a photo of his boots. And he said, "Oh, today I was ready to stomp and drag." Then another SORT officer shared a very graphic video of a man in a chokehold who was being beaten by sticks. And he shared that video and he posted, "Next time they activate SORT," and shared it with laughing emojis. And then after the April 20th mm-hmm. incident, the SORT officers kind of joked about how they were shooting pepper spray, you know, pepper spray and pepper ball ammunition on a detainee who was on a wheelchair. So these are some very interesting Facebook posts that were just kind of out there joking and kind of discussing the use of force in the facility that was taking place.
So has there been any response from Stewart, from CoreCivic, or even from ICE about this use of force?
Yeah, so I spoke with the individual SORT members that are mentioned in this story, and they all basically referred all my comments. They didn't say anything on the record and all referred all my comments to CoreCivic, the company. Same with the warden at the facility. And basically, after we sent a long email detailing our reporting to CoreCivic, they informed us that these correctional officers in question were placed on administrative leave from the facility, and that an internal office with ICE called the Office of Professional Responsibility was going to be looking in and investigating to see if there was any alleged misconduct that took place and with these social media posts. But also CoreCivic and ICE, they've denied that there's delays in providing medical attention to folks. And they've said that they've been complying with the guidelines to keep people in detention in their custody safe.
So what happens next for this specific facility, for Stewart, and for other immigrant detention facilities around the country? Are there calls for change?
Absolutely. Yeah. So migrant advocacy organizations and attorneys and human rights organizations around the country, even the United Nations have spoken out about conditions in ICE detention centers. Now, a couple weeks ago, a federal judge ruled that ICE should consider releasing detainees who are most at risk. There's also a lawsuit filed specifically against Stewart from the Southern Poverty Law Center seeking the release of vulnerable detainees. I mean, the population in the past few weeks at the facility has dropped almost to 54% of what its capacity is. So public pressure seems to be mounting, and time will tell what's going to happen.
Jose Olivares is an associate producer with The Takeaway. You can find his full investigation on thetakeaway.org and on theintercept.com. And a quick update to this story. Since we recorded this interview, CoreCivic said that 3 additional employees were placed on administrative leave because of our reporting, and 4 other staff members have been fired.
Thank you. At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.